Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin Podcast.
And this week, a very, very interesting conversation. Most of them that I have, I think, are very interesting. And it's a conversation, not an interview. It's a player that I've stayed in touch with since his days in Philadelphia, and his views are fascinating in a lot of different areas. And he almost didn't choose football as his sport. As great a player as he was, as great an athlete as he was, he almost didn't choose football. So I want to talk about the Sixers. In their situation, are they better or worse without Ben Simmons? And who knows how long he's going to be out. And then the baseball situation has become such a joke. But I'll talk about that as well. But I want to get to the Herschel Walker conversation. And this guy is very, very insightful. And just, he was a pleasure to talk to. So here is Herschel Walker.
All right. This morning I have I would call many of the things that he's done in his life historic. He's a former Heisman Trophy winner. He may be the best running back to come out of college football, and a former Eagle, and that would be Herschel Walker. Herschel, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
You know, I've never had a bad day in my life, and I continue my exercise. Walk, 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 and just keep on going. But it's a good thing, and you know about exercise and physical fitness, and we're going to get into that. The first thing that I want to talk about is what you're doing right now. People obviously remember you, remember Herschel Walker with the Eagles, Herschel Walker in the NFL, Herschel Walker at Georgia. What are you doing these days?
Well, you know, I've been very fortunate that, you know, about 23 years ago, I started a little food company where I manufacture a protein product, chicken. So I'm like a small little Tyson that I sell to a lot of, like to Sysco, to U.S. Foods, to a lot of like food service companies like restaurants and all over the country. And I built that little company up to be one of the largest minority-owned food service company in the United States. And I've been very fortunate to keep my connection with Philadelphia. People don't know I work with a great, great company out of King of Prussia called the University Health Services, and they have a program called Patriot Support where before all this here pandemic started, I was at a military base almost every 3 weeks trying to remove the stigma of mental health. They have a program there called Patriot Support, and I was very privileged that they gave me an opportunity to work with that program to go into a military base to, first of all, thank our military service men and women, but then secondly, to try to help remove that stigma of mental health. And so I've been doing that for the last 12 years, but I've had my food company for the last 23 years that has been, as I said, has become very, very large now. And now, and also that has pivoted me out into some other things. But I've been very, very blessed. You know, it's different when you leave football, but it's still a great, great life after football.
Yeah, and football, obviously, is what launches you. Great years at the University of Georgia. And then let's start at the beginning. You leave Georgia, I guess it was after what your junior, was it your junior year? I think you left after your junior year, and you signed in the USFL with the New Jersey Generals. Is that, did you want to leave early? Were you enticed?
No, I wasn't enticed. I don't think a lot of people even know. Before I even went to the University of Georgia, I was going to the military. I thought I was cut out to be a Marine. People don't know my story a little bit. You know, I thought I was cut out to be a Marine, and I wanted to go to the military, and I couldn't bring myself to tell my mom and dad because of, you know, getting all the scholarships, athletically and academic scholarship to go to college. My mom is a minister, and she said, you know, before I made a decision, just remember that whatever the decision I make, as long as I'm pure of heart, that God will bless me with the decision. And I end up flipping a coin. And that's when it came up for me to go to school, and I flipped what school to go to. It came for me to go to the University of Georgia. So the same thing happened when I was in Athens, because, you know, at that time, a junior couldn't go to the NFL. Right. And when the USFL came about, I was sitting in my place in Athens, Georgia, and I flipped the coin. Should I stay here at the University of Georgia or go to the USFL? It came up for me to go to the USFL. And what's interesting, a lot of people said, well, whether that is a great decision or a bad decision. And I tell people, if you look back over my career, you may see that that may have been one of the best decisions I ever made, because, you know, being at the University of Georgia, people only saw me run the football. People never knew I can catch a pass. You know, most of the time you see running backs are dead. That's why I encourage running backs in college. Work on catching footballs, because you stay in on third down. If you can stay in the game on third down, you really put pressure on a defense, because they got to leave that linebacker in. They don't have time to bring that extra defensive back in, that fifth back. And then when people saw that I can catch a football, I think that kept me in the league a lot longer. You know, I got to the Cowboys my first year, and I broke the Cowboys receiving records. I played so many different places, and I think in Philly, having an opportunity to play with Randall and all those great players there, you saw I caught a lot of passes there in Philly.
Yeah, and you did do a good job. So you go from the New Jersey Generals, and the league didn't last that long, and I remember because Philadelphia Stars are one of the best teams in the league, and Jim Mora, a senior, got a start as a head coach with the Philadelphia Stars, and then launched him into a career in the NFL, but it didn't last that long. So at that point, you go to the Cowboys, and everybody in America loved the Cowboys. Was that a big reason that you went to the Cowboys?
No, it wasn't. You know, I was in Verona, New Jersey, where I had a home there, and you know, I was being interviewed. It's funny because you know, and this was going to really freak you out. I don't really watch football, so I didn't really have a NFL team that I followed or looked at that much at all, but I had two older brothers, and they used to always talk about the Dallas Cowboys. And Dallas took me in a sort of like a late pick in the draft, because, you know, I was already with the USFL, so they just took a gamble to take me in a pick so they can own my rights. And when the USFL went under, the Cowboys owned my rights, and and they worked out a deal right away, and I ended up going to Dallas at that time.
So you played with the Cowboys. Before we get to the trade, your memories with the Cowboys in those years?
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. It was absolutely incredible. You know, having the opportunity to play with one of the finest coaches, I think, in ever coached football, a guy by the name of Tom Landry. You know, I got a chance to play with him. I played with some very legendary players. You know, like I said, I didn't watch football that much, but you knew names like Tony Dorsett and Randy White and Ed Too Tall Jones, Danny White. You know, I got a chance to play with those guys and be around those guys there. And, you know, and Dallas was a great place. You know, it's funny, I tell people, you know, my roommate was a guy by the name of Todd Fowler. He was a kid out of Van, Texas. Todd and I became like brothers. And, you know, whenever I moved around, you know, I got a chance to meet people. And, you know, and I think that is very valuable, because I always tell people, this is the honest truth. You know, having true friends and people that you can add to your family make you a very, very wealthy person. Got nothing to do with money, but it makes you a wealthy person because you got somebody you can really trust in.
You know, you play with the Cowboys, and then Jimmy Johnson's there. And I think Jimmy's a great coach too, but so is Tom Landry. Jimmy Johnson's there, and he trades you in the biggest trade in the history of the NFL, involving three teams and 18 players. How surprised, if at all, were you that the Cowboys traded you to Minnesota?
Well, you know, I was totally surprised. I was totally surprised because, you know, if people look back, that before I was traded, I led the NFC in rushing. So there was no way I would have been thinking I would have been traded. But as you said, Jimmy is a great coach. And if you look at anything I have written, I've said even today, if I own the NFL franchise, I would love to have Jimmy Johnson to be a part of it. I think he is a great, great coach. I think my philosophy on football is similar to his. And Jerry Jones, I think, is a wonderful owner, and I would have done the exact same thing. They had lost a lot of their first-round draft pick and something else that they had done, and they had no first-round draft pick. So you look around, what do you have? Well, what they had was they had Herschel Walker, and traded me to Minnesota. You see, it worked out incredible for them. And a lot of people don't know, they at first had talked to the Cleveland Browns. You know, the Cleveland Browns was a team that they were talking with at first that I was going to be going to, and Minnesota said that they'd offer more, and that's how I was traded to Minnesota.
You know, when you look back on it, it certainly helped. Jimmy Johnson was a big part of it, but it helped the Cowboys win a Super Bowl, Super Bowls. And you kiddingly have said they should have given me a Super Bowl ring. I know it was in jest, but you did help them win a Super Bowl, didn't you?
Well, I don't know whether I helped them win a Super Bowl. I know I say that in laughter, but because, you know, you still have to have coaches, you have to have players, and you have to put it together. You know, I've been around a lot of great teams, but yeah, it can be great teams, but they gotta put things together and go out and win. And I think what Jim and Jerry did during those years, they had to put it together, and that's the reason just being on the Jimmy for a little while, I saw his philosophy. His philosophy was, you get out and play. This is about football. It's not about you trying to be a rapper. It's not about you trying to be a rock star. You're here to play football, and that's the philosophy I think I loved about Jimmy. And I think Jerry was a guy, and people always give him a tough time, but Jerry was an owner that he wasn't about trying to coach. Jerry was about trying to make a great team. You know, everything going on today, you know, I tell people all the time, I say, guys, it's about your team. It's not about anything else.
You know, okay, so you go to Minnesota for 3 years, and then you come to the Eagles for 3 years. And your first year with the Eagles, you rush for over 1,000 yards. What do you remember about the Eagles?
You know, it's funny because I love Philadelphia. You know, I'm a country boy. You know, I'm from South Georgia. You know, I'm a country boy. I got a chance to come up to Philadelphia, and it was a city of brotherly love. And one thing I remember about Philly is it's a tough, tough town. They love their team. They're going to support their team. They want you to get out and play. I got a chance to play with, and I think some players that's going to go down are some of the best players that ever played the game. You know, you can't think of a guy that had an arm better than Randall Cunningham, or probably the very, very best defensive lineman ever to play, a guy by the name of Reggie White. God bless him. You know, I got a chance to play with people like that. I got a chance to be in a city like Philadelphia. And I tell people today, I love Philadelphia. And you know, I'm a country boy. How in the world can you say that? But I can say that because I love the mentality of the Philadelphia people. There are people that's going to work hard. There are people that's going to support their team. They're going to fight for their team. And, you know, and I love that. I love playing in Philly. I love it. Like I said, I still got that connection with the University Health Services out of King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. And yeah. Stuff. So I love Philly.
All right. And, you know, I'm going to get back to the Eagles, and there's a couple of things I want to ask you. But I also, and I'm trying to remember, you were a bobsledder. Did you bobsled in the Olympics? Do I remember you bobsledding in the
yes,
Olympics?
Yes, I did. That's when I was in Minnesota during the off season. You know, I somebody asked me about trying out for the bobsled team, and at first I didn't even know what the bobsled was. I told them I would do it. And when it came down for me to try out for the team, I really didn't want to do it. But then I decided to go to Lake Placid, New York. Mm-hmm. And when I got up there, a lot of the people that was competing they were sort of mean to me. They were not really nice. And my philosophy is, you know, if you really want to compete against Herschel Walker, we can compete. And I ended up winning this spot as the best pusher for the United States in the bobsled, and got an opportunity to be on the first team of the bobsled push team with Brian Shaman and I. And I represented my country in the bobsled. You know, a guy from Florida, Brian from Naples, Florida. I was from Georgia. And so we represented the United States in bobsledding.
You know, when you competed as a sprinter, was that just in college, or did you do that beyond college?
Well, you know, I did it during the off season beyond college. A lot of people don't know. You know, I was considered at one time one of the fastest guys in the world and stuff as well. You know, people forget about my track. You know, when I first went to the University of Georgia, you know, I went on a track scholarship at first. You know, I wasn't sure if the coaches were going to let me play football, so I made sure I signed a track scholarship, and I competed on a track circuit. And in 3 years I was there at Georgia, I was All-American in track and field as well. Track was my love. You know, I didn't know that much about football. You know, people just assume because I played this game and I know a lot about this game that I watch football all the time. A matter of fact, I never watched football growing up as a little kid. So football was something that I learned a lot from by reading books.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then mixed martial arts. You may still be doing it. As of a few years ago, you were still involved in that, too. Am I correct?
You are correct, but I'm going to tell you something a lot of people don't know as well. While I was at Georgia, I would play on Saturdays. I went to church Sunday morning, and I fought in Taekwondo tournament Sunday afternoon. And I did that the whole time I was at the University of Georgia for the 3 years I was there. So mixed martial arts was something that was a little bit different. Because even though you're doing Taekwondo tournaments, which is totally, totally different than mixed martial arts. So, you know, when I got out of football and everything was said and done, you know, I wrote my book on dissociative identity disorder. And after years after that, I decided that, you know, I absolutely love martial arts. Martial arts, it was a big love of mine because, you know, that was part of my life for years. And I said I wanted to give it a shot. And I had met a guy by the name of Scott Coker, who at that time owned Strike Force. And what he told me at that time, I went off to California and did what they call a matchmaker bout, where I had to fight five different guys in five different disciplines. So I went five rounds with five different guys, and I did well. I did very well. And they said, Herschel, if you would promise to go to a camp, I will get you a fight. So I went out to AKA out in California, in San Jose, California. I went out to AKA, and this is honest truth. I went out there, I was out there for 9 months, and I worked for probably 7 days a week for 9 months. I never missed a day.
Wow.
And I learned that my Taekwondo had nothing on mixed martial arts, and I'm glad that they did tell me to go to a MMA camp, because if I went into a cage or an octagon with my taekwondo, I would have totally got destroyed and got hurt. So my hat is off to Scott Coke and Bob Cook, because they really gave me the best advice you could have ever gave anyone, and that's to go to a great, great camp, because mixed martial arts is no joke. Those guys are very, very professionals, and you know, I've learned this sport now, and I can compete on any level with anyone in the world today in mixed martial arts, and that's because I got a chance to be in the train with Daniel Cormier and Cain Velasquez and Luke Rockhold, Josh Thompson, and those are guys that were all world champions, and I held my own.
You know, I don't know the last time that you were timed in the 40, but when was the last time, and what was your time in the 40?
You're talking, you're probably talking, I'm trying to think, that's got to be about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Still in your 50s.
And at that time I ran a 4.35, but I know I can run better. And the reason I say that, at that time I knew I could have ran better. The reason I say that is because, you know, I was not working on sprinting. What I was doing then is working on more cardio, where I was doing distant running, and I was fighting. You know, I was in a cage and fighting the majority of the time, so I wasn't working on my technique and sprinting, because being a sprinter is a lot of technique. People don't realize that. So it's tons of technique. So I saw a 4.35, and I was kind of embarrassed in running that, because I know I can do better than that. And so that's the last time I ever ran one.
Okay. Now, let's get back to the Eagles. When you were here, there's always expectations in Philadelphia with the Philadelphia Eagles. And the expectations were high. Rich Kotite was your head coach. I was not, you remember, I was an outspoken guy. I was not a big fan of Rich Kotite. And in those years, did he lose the team? Because they should have been better. Those teams you were on should have been better. Did he lose the team?
I don't know whether he lost the team or not. You know, you still, no matter what, and I'm going to say something that people get mad at me about for saying sometime. You know, you have a coach, but you also have players as well. And the players got to get out, and it's got to gel together, and we got to get out, and we got to execute. And so I'm not going to say he lost the team, because we still had to execute what we had to do, and we had to stay together, which we did. I think having leaders like Reggie White on the team, you know, you stay together, and it just happened. And so I can't say whether he lost the team, and I'm not going to blame any coach when you got the players, because I say, you know, players, you got to go out and you got to execute the play. And, you know, you may not like the play, but you still got to execute it. And the reason I'm going to tell you that is when I was at the University of Georgia, we ran the ball no matter what. And I remember training sometime, and the offensive coaches would give the defensive coaches our plays. And they knew exactly what we were going to do. And he used to say, why, it doesn't matter, because they have 11 and you have 11. So you have to just do your job, and they got to try to stop you from doing your job. So that's what it boils down to sometimes. Sometimes you just can't blame the coaches all the time. You got to blame the players as well.
You know, Herschel, you talked about the fans here, and I relay a couple of stories. I've had Andy Reid on, and I've had Dick Vermeil on, and both of them had reference to the fans. Andy Reid said, you know, when you're losing, whether it's at halftime or after the game, there's a lot of yelling and screaming as you're walking off the field. Andy Reid said, they were throwing pennies at me, and he made a joke. He says, at least they could have thrown quarters. He says, then they were pouring beer, and I don't drink beer. Dick Vermeil said he almost climbed into the stands, but Chuck Bednarik happened to be there that game and pulled him out. What do you remember about some of the times, and you're really passionate, and I get it, remember about some of the fans when the team with the Eagles didn't win a game?
Go ahead. Say that. Yeah, you know what's so funny? What I remember about the fans, they were very passionate. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I got you.
They were very passionate, and that's what I liked about them is they were very passionate. And sometimes they get a little rowdy. They get a little rowdy. But I will say this here, which is going to be wild. The fans have always, always, always supported Herschel Walker. I don't think I ever got hardly any fans that was very, very unruly to me. But the fans always, always supported me. And, And that's why I always tell people that I owe them something back. And I tell people this all the time. And whenever I get an opportunity to go into Philly to try to do something, I try to do it. And the reason why is because I think I owe it to them. You know, I'm a person that believes in trying to give back to people. I was in Philly for 3 years, met so many great people. You know, I had an opportunity to live close to Dr. J. I got a chance to meet one of the greatest basketball players in the world, to be in one of the greatest cities in the world in Philadelphia. And you know, what can you ask for? This country boy from South Georgia get an opportunity to do that. What more can you ask for there?
You know, you said you don't watch football. Do you follow or at least stay in touch with what the Eagles are doing? And you played with a few. You played with more than just the Eagles in Minnesota and Dallas. I think you had the Giants in there, too. But do you stay in touch with what the Eagles are doing anymore? Do you have it?
I do stay in touch. You know, I almost have to because I've been getting called about it. And so I will get on and read more and more about it and see what's happening and things like that. So whether I like it or not, today I almost have to stay in touch with a lot of different things. You know, I've been very fortunate that the President of the United States gave me the Chairman of the President Fitness Council of Sports and Nutrition. And so I have to stay in touch and see what's going on around the United States, and I'm trying to do that.
What's the game? The game's different. How do you think the game is different today, the game of football?
Well, you know, they're trying to control it a little bit more for safety reason, and I can understand that. Today is almost like playing but almost like flag football for the quarterback for some of them. You know, you cannot touch the quarterback today or you're going to get in trouble. And the way you tell a receiver today that he has a catch the ball and take a step before you can hit him. You know, when I played, I still believe in, and maybe I'm a little crazy, that you got to hit him sometime before you get the ball. That kind of deter him from wanting to catch the football. So the game is, and I know it's for safety reason, and you got to do that because players today are getting bigger, they're getting faster, so the game got more of a collision to it. And you know, I think because of the head injuries, though that is real. The head injuries are very, very real, and they got to do something to protect the players more. So I understand that somewhat.
You know, Herschel, I have seen where, and there's I wouldn't call it craziness. There's some sad things that are going on in the United States. The pandemic, the COVID-19 virus, it's a dangerous thing. People have to recognize that. But also, the issue with Black Lives Matter. And I've seen a couple of things where you're not really in support of Black Lives Matter. Is that the case, and why is that the case?
Well, yeah, I'm not in support of the organization of Black Lives Matter. I think Black Lives Matter, what they're saying, you know, they're saying some good things. The organization is not what I'm in support of. And you know, I look at what the NFL, what most of the major league teams are doing, and I think it's terrible. I think the reason I say I think it's terrible because I don't think politics should be in sports. Right now, that was the only time that you can get people together where they can go out and play and enjoy themselves. You know, with everything going on in this country, would you not think that this could be a saving grace for some person that now got this miserable thing going on in his life and now he can turn the TV on and see some sporting event without seeing some political statement made? And at the same time, I said, you know, you got these owners and these commissioners that put something on a player that he may not even believe in. And that's the only thing I was saying. And I said, guys, do you know what the organization stands for? That's all I asked. And my next question was, why is people not communicating? Why are people not sitting down wanting to communicate? You know, it's strange because, you know, whether you're white, black, Asian, Italian, you're on a football team, you are a family. You're brothers and your sisters and your family. And now I think they're trying to create separation. And I think when you do that and put politics into sports, you take so much away from people, and now is whether you stand or whether you kneel, and now it's wrong to stand, and how in the world can you say it's wrong to stand? So you put pressure on someone whether they're going to stand, so they may kneel because they're afraid to stand. So it is very, very difficult to decide what you do. Why are you trying to make a choice for the United States of America, for this country? You're trying to determine, oh, what should I do? Everyone is afraid to speak out because of what they may be called. And I say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid to speak out because what's wrong is wrong, what's right is right. Right now, we're the greatest country in the world. I think I was very privileged to play this game. I think with people today, and you think about it today, with people today cannot go to work. Kids cannot go to school. You know, so many terrible things are going on in this country today. And we as athletes who making all this money right now want to start telling people, oh, let's believe in this. You got to stay here. I don't like it if you do this here. Do you think people really want to hear that? What people like to see you do is go out and just play and give me some relief by getting away from politics every day.
So I understand you don't believe in the kneeling, which I totally understand. And does it, by doing that, does it take away the message that they're trying to put forth to people in America?
Well, first of all, let's say this. They're kneeling. And I said, okay, tell me, let's get together. And that's what I asked people to do. And I said, guys, I want to be a part of this. I like to be a part of this solution. You know, what is this solution? And no one want to even come and talk to about the solution. And I understand that. I said, guys, let's get to a solution. And you can't get to it. And I think that's why I said, I think the commissioner has succumbed to what's going on. Because you remember just a couple of years ago, the commissioner of the NFL said, nope, everyone was going to stand. Well, why did he change his mind now that now everyone got a kneel? Because why is he making that choice for every player? You know, I suggested one thing. I said, you know, we are a team. I'm saying the Philadelphia Eagles are a team. So what you should do, the owner, the people in the front office, and the team get together. And they decide what they'll like to do, whether they want to kneel or whether they want to stand. They raise hand, and the majority wins. And when they leave that room, that's what everybody is on the same page. Every team in the NFL should do that. Don't just put it that if you don't want to kneel, you got to do it. You do it as a team. You don't do it as an individual because you may have some people right now in the NBA that may be kneeling that is afraid to stand because they're afraid to be called a racist. And, yeah, you know, just because you stand doesn't mean you're racist. It's got nothing to do with the other. It may be because of your religious belief. It may be just that you don't like the organization. And, you know, if does anyone stop to read about what the organization stands for? And I said, guys, it's not my fault. It's your fault that you educated me to go look it up. Well, I looked it up, and I saw what it stood for. And I said, it's divisive. It's not bringing together. And anyone in Washington knows that if you want to get anything passed, you got to have both parties to come together. Well, just on their website, it's not a website I created, it's on their website, it said that they go for Act Blue, and they give most of their money to the Democratic Party. And I'm like, if you're giving your money to the Democratic Party, you ain't never going to get no Republican to be on your side. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to keep the people separated? You know, you're alienating yourself from a certain group of people.
You know, Herschel, I'm going to lighten it up because I want to talk about exercise. And before we started the conversation here, I told you about what I'm doing and walking. And I know you're a big, big person on exercise. What is your exercise routine like these days? You're 58 years old. You're 58 years young.
Don't tell my age. I'm only 27. I'm in great shape.
I was going to say young. You look like you're 27. I mean, tell you, it's amazing. But you're a young guy, but exercise is a big part of it. What is part of your exercise routine like?
Well, you know, it hasn't changed that much. Right now, I'm probably in better shape than I've been in a long, long time. And because of this pandemic, and I'm so sorry about it, that, you know, I've been staying at home. I haven't been traveling at all at all. So I've increased my workout some. So today I probably increased my push-ups. I was doing about 1,500 a day. I'm doing probably about a little over 2,000 a day, about anywhere between 35 to 4,000 sit-ups. And then doing a lot of dips on riding my stationary bike, probably about 30 miles. And if I get out on the road, I go about 50. You know, still jogging all the time and doing my jump rope and my dips. And so I've just increased my workout some. And you know, when the draft came around, I was going to try to call and see, can I get in the draft, because I'm ready to play right now, I think. I think I'm ready to go out and do something.
You know what? I think you probably could. Now, you just put me – we talked about I average now 17 miles a day walking, and I'm trying to walk the 1,100 miles and raising money for, a dog rescue, the SPCA, and feed people. But put me to shame. I'm only walking 17 miles a day, and you're doing all those miles and
Howard,
things.
That is absolutely incredible. And, you know, what I told you, it, I said, Howard, what you're doing right now is incredible. And, you know, like you said, I believe in fitness. And I said, you ought to put that out. Let's challenge people around the country. Let's see, can they walk more, walk the same. 17 miles is a lot a day that you're doing. So my hat is off to you. You know, that is a lot. And congratulations. You know, one of the things that that I'm trying to fight right now is obesity. Obesity is one of the top killers in America, people, today. We're one of the most obese countries today. And with everything going on with this pandemic, we need to get into a routine. You know, people need to get out and walk, even though you can still social distancing. But you still need to get out and need to exercise. Do not sit at home and become depressed. Get out and start doing something, walking. You're having a great, good shoes on that doesn't hurt your knees and that. And you could. And how much weight have you lost since you've been doing that?
I've lost about 23, 24 pounds.
Wow, that's impressive. And you lost it the right way, and that's what's so great about it. Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, and it's just and I feel good. It's the lowest I've been in probably over 15 years, and it's just it really feels good. My knees are good. My ankles are good. I'm raising money for some good organizations. I'm trying to raise money this morning, and hopefully people donate to help and get out and walk for physical and mental health. And I think it's really important. But again, I'm hearing what you're doing. You know, I started doing 1,000 sit-ups a day or every other day when you were here. And I'm going to say, this is crazy. This is crazy. I always challenge myself to something. And thinking about what you did, I challenged myself. This is nuts. But I like the fact that I'm getting out and walking and getting exercise and in really good shape. My health is really good. So it's all good. And you know, and you are an example, and you are the poster child for physical fitness. And people have to understand how important that is. And really, I appreciate everything you do. And that's just one of the things you do. And I'm glad you challenge people, and I'll challenge people as well.
Well, thank you. And I want to thank the people of Philadelphia, like I said, and I'm not kissing up because, you know, I don't kiss up to anything. But I love Philadelphia. I thank all you there in Philly for giving me an opportunity to be in your great city, being around some great people there in Philly. You know, I thank University Health Services every day for giving me that chance to be with some of the greatest people in the world, all military service men and women. I want to give them a shout out, and all to all first responders, because let me tell you what, I love all those people, and that's the reason we're the greatest country we are today, is because of our military service men and women, and because of our first responders. And I think we got to acknowledge that, because they are great people.
You know, and Herschel, I've always found you to be not just a great football player, not just a great football player, and a terrific gentleman. And always, you've always been kind to me, and you know, you're just one of those guys that I wish there was more of in athletics today. And I really do appreciate your time.
Well, you know what I'm going to say, Howard, is going to be something that may freak you out. Is, you know, there are still a lot of good players. A lot of good people like myself in the league, not just in football, but in basketball. You know, I think sometimes you have the voice of a few that shout louder than others, but you'll be shocked how many great, great voices there are in the league that speak what I speak and believe what I believe, and they work like I work, and there's so many of them, and sometimes you have some of the few that shout a little louder, and you can't hear the others because they're a little bit quieter. But as with everything going on in America today, I tell American people, speak out. Speak out. stand up and be proud, because we're the greatest country in the world, and that's the reason we are. Is we're mutts. I said we're all mutts. We all are in a melting pot together, and that's what made this country such a great country, because God has put blacks and whites and Asian and Italian and Jewish and everybody in one pot. And he cooked us up, and he brought out this beautiful, beautiful thing called the United States of America, which is the greatest country in the world.
Well, Herschel, I appreciate it. You are you're just a terrific guy in so many different ways, and I appreciate your time. And hopefully we catch up one day, whether it's me walking or you coming to town to catch up with the people here. So, Herschel,
well, I'm going to tell you this here. I don't know, and I'm being honest, I'm not sure if I can walk 17 miles, even though I'm in great shape. That is a long ways. People don't realize how far that really is. How many steps you're taking. And so that's the reason, pat yourself on the back from Herschel Walker, because I'm going to tell you what, that is absolutely incredible.
Well, I appreciate your time. Herschel, it is so much fun and a pleasure to talk to you. And thanks for your time and your insight into so many different things. Thanks and good luck.
Thank you.
And stay safe and stay healthy.
Very insightful and a different take on Black Lives Matter, and explained it very well and totally understand him. Now, as far as baseball, I think 7-inning games are a joke. I think the games are too long, so the only benefit is when you play two, it's still a long day, but the games are shorter, only because they're 7 innings, and bullpens in a lot of cases aren't that good, and the Phillies' bullpen is a joke. So the fact that they don't have to use many bullpen pitchers is an advantage to them. But to play all those games in a short period of time, and there's going to be a situation where all the teams can't play all the games, and so it's going to be an uneven schedule. I just think they've jerked around the game too much. Just have everybody play the same amount of games. And the doubleheaders, all the doubleheaders that are coming up, I know for the Phillies, for the Cardinals, for the Miami Marlins, and just on spite, I'm happy to see them play so well when they had all that time off and they had to stay in a hotel room for a week and still came out and won at the time that I do this, like 5 or 6 in a row. So I just think baseball this year is absolutely, positively, without question, a season that has to have an asterisk. And when I hear people on my radio show, well, they're all playing on the same field and the same situation. No, they're not. There's teams that are going to have many more doubleheaders than other teams. I think that's an advantage because you only have 7-inning games, especially when you don't have a bullpen. So I think that's they're not all playing on the same field, and not all playing on a level playing field. So that's my point with that. Now, as far as the 76ers, I think they are a better team without Ben Simmons, because I just don't think he and Joel Embiid play well together. They don't fit together. And after all these years, you're putting Ben Simmons at the power forward. You're calling it a point forward. Isn't that wonderful? But it doesn't generate any real threat to the other team. And they don't have him. I think they're better off. I talked about the exciting players to watch in the NBA. Although ESPN just beats the drum so hard on how exciting it is for Ben Simmons, well, I can see a dunk from anybody in the NBA. That's not exciting anymore. Having a shot, creating your own shot, and not just going to the basket and dunk is such a different situation. But I think the Sixers are better off, actually, without... Now, you couldn't miss both Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, but I think you'd rather have Joel Embiid than Ben Simmons, as long as he stays healthy. So... It will be interesting. I don't think they're going to go deep in the playoffs. Be interesting to see that how that happens. But I'm glad you joined me this week for the Howard Eskin podcast. And great guy, Herschel Walker. Very insightful. What an unbelievable athlete. He's 58 years young, and he's still doing all the things he does. So, and you can only appreciate the kind of shape he's in. And it wouldn't shock me that he could play football again and he could come back and play in the NFL. I don't think that's what he wants to do, and I don't think teams would give him a chance, but that would be amazing. But anyway, thanks for joining us on this edition of the Howard Eskin podcast, and we will see you, or technically hear you, or you'll hear me the next time. Thanks again.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.